and welcome to the Tech and Toast podcast. We simplify the way you buy and manage your hospitality tech. You can click through to techontoast.community where you can search our marketplace, attend our events, grab your free tech audit, and we will help you visualize your tech stack as you grow into 2024. Meanwhile, summer in Australia.
Hey, Louie, do you think we should sponsor the Tech on Toast podcast? I mean, I really like Chris, and I really like what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's a ripper idea, LP. It's a perfect fit for what we do at Red Cat.
I mean, I agree. I'm just not sure how we get our message across around, like, Red Cat specializing in multi-site groups, you know, like cafe groups and fast casual groups and QSRs and all that.
Maybe we mention some of our customers like Nando's in Australia, New Zealand, the restaurants at the Aussie Open, Boost Juice International. I mean, they've got over 700 sites.
Hang on. I think that was the sponsors. This is the Tech on Toast podcast. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the next Tech on Toast podcast. And this week, I'm very happy to be joined by Adam Castle, CEO of Startle, and Melanie Falker, Chief Customer Officer. That's such a posh title, Mel.
Last time
I saw you, you were banging out Mystique in a karaoke booth.
I was wondering how long it would be until that got mentioned.
So, yes, we've met recently, didn't we, Mel, at the Oprah's, the Atollo Awards.
We did.
How are you?
We did. I'm very well, thank you.
Welcome to BrewDog. And Adam, we met. I met you, I reckon it's 4 years ago.
Way back.
Pre-pandemic, definitely.
Definitely.
A dark winter's night.
Yep.
In a private members, this sounds bad, in a private members club in Shoreditch, maybe?
Borough.
Okay, yeah. It was a nice place. Well, ministry, was it?
The ministry, that's where we're based.
There you go. Very, very good. But yeah, we were doing EXP back then. It was our old company. We were talking to you guys. And I think I gate crashed your Christmas party.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'd had the party or you were going to the party.
Far too drunk.
There was a grotto, I remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember you two just sitting there going, why is he here? This is our party. Anyway, welcome to BrewDog, as I said. And we're here to talk about Startle today. So yeah, and Adam, let's hear a bit about your journey to this point, because the music maestro.
I was working leisure, my first job, summer job. I was working in a theme park. And I found the love for the leisure and hospitality industry as part of that. But had a bit of a challenge in that. I was a tech geek. And I needed to
kind of... Stuck in a theme park,
but loving it. And actually what I needed to do was kind of merge those two interests together. So like all good ideas, Startle was founded in a pub. And I was sitting there thinking, wouldn't it be cool if you could choose the music from your phone? That was the original idea. So we created a virtual jukebox originally.
Love that.
And then kind of realized, actually, people are just doing background music really badly. So there's an opportunity here to do sort of atmosphere and music more generally. And that's what we do today. So yeah, it's a tech background with a love for hospitality.
It's really, and also so background music is kind of says in the word background, it's meant to be in the background, but it does create a vibe, doesn't it? It is what drives your experience, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we realized, that I think background music has been undervalued, actually, and it can make or break an experience. And actually, if you bring expertise and technology to that field, you can create actually quite memorable and spectacular experiences. And that's really our aim.
I love that. And is that on you, Mel?
It's not on me.
Are you the one having to create these spectacular experiences? Tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to this point.
Yeah, so I started about a year into the company, and I started as the first marketing person. It was my first marketing role as well. I've always been into music, so I kind of had that side of it in me, less of a techie, but I think I get away with that. So, I kind of have been there pretty much since day one and grown with the company. Now sort of still overseeing marketing, but being involved in a few other areas as well, managing team, etc. So yeah, and it's been really interesting actually to see, like Adam says, about sort of the focus on music grow. And I think we've seen how the market's changed and how people are just paying more attention to music.
I was going to say, how important was it? I mean, if we go back, my career is a bit further back. So I was like 20 odd years, but music was never really, it was something we just had to switch on the checklist in the morning. You know, it was something that we had to put on, but it was never really thought of, I suppose, as a, an experiential part of the dining or leisure experience or bowling, like here in BrewDog. But is that what you're finding? Are people more invested in that side of things now? They're really kind of working out what that looks like?
Yeah, I think a lot of brands are, particularly in hospitality. We work kind of a real breadth of businesses, retail and hospitality. But I think hospitality seem to really understand the value of music and the whole atmosphere and customer experience piece these days. everybody, I think, will probably agree that it's one of the most influential factors in kind of creating an atmosphere.
And yeah.
Whether that's sort of relaxing people or, you know, creating excitement or something. Bringing people together also has a big impact on staff as well. So kind of motivating employees and making people feel, you know, connected. But we also then a few years ago started sort of looking at behavioral science and felt like a really natural fit, with behavioral science being sort of the study of human behavior. And so we've started incorporating that more into our approach with music. And that definitely is kind of connecting with people a lot. And I think that people in hospitality are really buying into how we can use music more with intent. So it's not, like you say, just flicking a switch in the morning, but it's actually putting a lot more thought into what we do with music, how the playlists are curated with consideration to the brand and the whole sort of DNA and positioning, also the kinds of behavior that we can influence and the emotions that we can help to encourage. And just looking at it as a much wider piece than just
is it potentially a revenue stream? And I might be being crazy, but can you influence what people are spending? Adam's going to say, of course we can. can you influence what people are going to do or behave basically during different day parts in a business through music?
Absolutely. So we typically work with clients on what's your brief from a commercial perspective? Because music can quite often be an influence to that. We work with people on reducing their table turnover time, for example, or increasing throughput at busy time, or changing the perception of a wait time. So as Mel mentioned, we realized that curating music for a brand is one thing. You've got to get that spot on. But actually, it's more powerful than that. The industry is missing out on the opportunity to really understand the study of how humans react in an environment and applying that to business objectives. So yeah, our approach is no longer about what music people want and aligning it to a brand. It's more about how do you want people to feel when they leave this establishment, or how do you want them to behave when they're there. So we have direct revenue impact on our customers, but also the long tail of a great customer experience. So you might be able to quantify a bigger spend or a higher dwell, for example. But actually, if you can make an experience more memorable, more distinctive, that has a longer term impact that gets people talking about your location and getting people back through the door. So there is the short term gain, but also the long term impact that we can have. And I think that's why music shouldn't be left in the background and actually should be an important part of a design of a restaurant or shop or pub or whatever it is that you're working in.
And music definitely influences my mood. You know, on a morning coming down to London, when I come down for 2 or 3 days, I'll definitely have a playlist that I'm plugged into listening to.
Yeah.
And I think I was talking to Vic Searle a while ago in Datahawks.
Yeah.
And obviously they take all of that customer data and they're then turning that into dollars, as Vic would say. You know, they're understanding their behavior through email opening and email, you know, what they're kind of linking through to. And I suppose you guys are doing the same, but through music or through behavior, which is, and Mel, I know I've got it, I'm going to thrust this in the camera. It's already in the camera shot there. But you guys have got a book called Atmospheres That Sell. We were just talking off air about it. I've already seen a copy actually when you sent me a PDF maybe?
Probably,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've seen something. Tell us a bit more about it and how it's been received, because it's really interesting, isn't it? The fact that you're, as you said, not just sitting in the background, are taking this on another level.
Yeah, so I think behavioral science on the whole is gaining a lot of interest, particularly across marketing in any industry. And since we've been using this more, we decided to write this book about it, partly because this is, we think, the first behavioral science book specific to retail and hospitality. So there are lots of great behavioral science books out there, but we kind of saw the opportunity to talk about applying it to the industries that we work with. So the book does talk about music, but it's also about kind of just using various different behavioral science biases to be able to influence customer behavior, work towards specific objectives. So there are some really nice sort of nuggets, not just, again, music related, but, you know, on sort of being distinctive and standing out, how to sort of make that real lasting impression, and just different ways that you can harness behavioral science to kind of, yeah, create a better branded atmosphere.
And I suppose there's two things, right? There's the branded side of it, where you have a look. So BrewDog they definitely have a certain look and feel in here, and you can hear the music, which kind of fits to what I feel like it fits, right?
Yeah.
And I imagine brands take quite good care of that. But you mentioned table turning and influencing that behavior. That's huge, right? Because that's, and I'm guessing, are you like, is it like speeding? I'm not saying you're putting like hardcore techno on to get people to leave, but are you changing the rhythm or the pace of what that might be? Is that how you do it?
Yeah, so we work with Azuri Group,
yeah.
And their brief to us was reducing lunchtime table turn.
I love turnover. This.
So
it's brilliant.
We higher tempo music encourages people to chew faster, so they finish meals quicker.
Wow.
But that's a good example of a business. Objective for a particular time of day, but actually quite often that can switch. So we work with coffee shops that have very busy morning rush, for example, and they want the throughput to be as quick as possible. But shortly after sort of 9:30, actually coffee shops can be quite quiet. So they want to encourage people to stay and have a second cup. So we'll monitor the busyness. We have sensors to do that also. So it's not necessarily just day parting. We can actually monitor how busy a location is and change the playlist based on the desired, you know, atmosphere and behavior that people want. You mentioned mood, and mood is actually really important for two reasons. One is music can influence mood that you mentioned, and there's a principle called the ISO principle, which actually looks at sort of is valence and arousal, so how energetic and how positive a song feels. And what you can actually do is plot tracks in a progressive way to make people lift people up and make them in a better mood.
Yeah.
So that's great because you want people leaving your establishment happier than when they went in.
Skipping out the door. Yeah.
Absolutely, skipping out the door. But also, people are more malleable when they're in a better mood. So this is an evolutionary thing in that, you know, I use the example of, you know, you're more likely to have your guard down if you're not being chased by a lion.
this is true.
This is absolutely true. And actually, so if you can put people in a better mood, actually you can influence them better. So if you've got positive, uplifting music curated in the right way, you're more likely to achieve the objective around dwell, for example, or changing a customer behavior. Even things like, it's not just the music you play, things like volume level, bass levels. So we adjust.
What, you don't just set it to 9 anymore and just leave it for the day?
No. No, and actually quite often we'll take that control away from venue. So
yeah.
We will curate the perfect atmosphere, which includes volume, and then we use our tech to scale that across multiple sites, so you get the same experience for every site that you visit.
And how is that controlled? I mean, do you do that from, is that like a back office thing that someone will control in head office, or is it literally controlled by you guys?
So we connect to screens and amplifiers using a piece of hardware, we call it a Startle Player, and then it's controlled by a cloud system. So our sort of clever bit is hosted in the cloud. We're analyzing data and controlling those units remotely. So what we basically do is we work with a brand to nail the atmosphere within a couple of locations,
yeah.
And then we look to replicate that consistently at scale.
Very clever, very clever. And Mel, I mean, you're looking after, I mean, I suppose, is your brief mainly to look after or to kind of deal with what the customers are bringing you in terms of feedback, in terms of strategic movements with the product? What are your customers telling you? What are they asking for that they weren't asking for, I suppose, 3-4 years ago? Has anything changed? You know, the pandemic, everyone says the pandemic changed everything. Has it changed that behavior with music and the way they want to, like you're talking about, use music to move their customers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a little bit. Obviously, there are so many challenges that the industry is facing. You know, everybody knows it's been a really tough few years for retail and hospitality. There's always been the challenge of online and competing with that and getting people to a physical space. So I think there's been much more priority placed when we're looking at a physical space on all of those elements that tie into it. So yeah, definitely music and how it kind of ties in with the wider sort of experience with, you know, digital screens and lighting and whatever else it might be, and just creating that real kind of connected, you know, married up experience so that everything just works together. And that's not always kind of necessarily noticeable. I think for me, when a brand really gets it right, you often don't really notice, you know.
They say the best tech is the quiet tech, right? Which is weird for music.
Absolutely.
but you know, when something's not right, I think that's normally when you notice it.
Yeah.
For me, when you're in a space and the music's, you know, perfect and the lighting's right and it's all just working, you know that you're having a good experience. You know that you're, you know, enjoying it and you feel sort of relaxed and comfortable, but you don't always necessarily think like, oh, that's because this type of music is playing. And, that's,
and it's really odd that I can relate parts of my career to types of music. There's a Matchbox 20 song, I'm not even going to bother testing anyone's musical knowledge here, don't worry, but there's a Matchbox 20 song that Hard Rock used to play on repeat. They had a Cisco system, I think it was called. Cisco was their music system. They played all over the world, same songs were playing it in Cardiff and in, you know, New York. It was same everywhere. And that song haunts me. Only because it was my setup song. It used to come on, it used to be that rhythm. It used to come on when I was setting up. And I just wonder how much people take notice. You know, that's why I'm interested, because I think that, I think you're right. I think once you're in it and it's great, Carluccio's had some, when I was there for 8 years, had some, not shocking, but very Italian type music, right? Like pretty much didn't try very hard type thing. And it was very, but it really worked in the atmosphere of the restaurant, the food we were delivering and the way we were taught to behave. It actually, you never really heard it. So it was an interesting concept. Mm. And does AI play a part in all of this, or are we not even there yet? Or is that coming?
Mm. So we use AI internally for improving efficiency. Yeah. We're not shoehorning it into our product unnecessarily, because that's the trendy thing to do. One thing we are doing is capturing a lot of data.
Right.
So capturing data in terms of what we're playing, showing what volume levels are, busyness with our sensors, things like temperature, humidity, so just environmental factors. And actually, there's a whole wealth of data that can come out of EPOS systems and CRM systems. And I do think that there is mileage to look at combining all of that. So what was your atmosphere doing in line with your trading patterns, and start looking at kind of learning or predicting spend or customer behavior and so on. So we're not looking at replacing curators with AI profiling, because I think that's just a race to, you know, the average.
Average world.
Yeah. So it's still very much an art and science in terms of the expertise that we have. There's definitely room for AI when it comes to improving efficiency internally, which we use, but also just analyzing data and looking for correlations that you might not assume would be there. And actually, one thing that sort of behavioral science teaches you is that humans are quite illogical. We post-rationalize, so you know, you think your decisions are logical, but actually, you know, you're just rationalizing based on what you did.
You just talking about my day yesterday.
We're all the same. And actually, there's not much behavioral difference between the different generations either. These are evolutionary traits that are sort of built into humans in general. And that means that a lot of data and analytics is kind of hiding the true meaning of how people behave and what they think.
Wow, we've gone deep, and it's 20 past 11.
It is deep.
No, but I think I didn't put this. The reason I do this, really, is to educate operators around product, right? And not just the product, the website.
Yeah.
Underneath the bonnet, as it would be. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm being educated, sitting here listening, is really cool, right? Because that means someone else will be as well. Mm-hmm. And I think music is a big part of my life. Always has been, career choices, all kinds of things. But I'm really interested to hear. So do you work with partners then? So like, you know, I sit with an EPOS partner here. They would say they work with Rota Ready, or God, I shouldn't drop names, but they work with other workforce providers. Are you doing the same then? Are you integrated into other systems?
Yeah, we do. So I guess there's working with partners from two perspectives. One is the design of a particular location. So quite often we're working with like brand companies and interior design companies. And I think it's really important to involve music as part of that design process. So we have those kind of non-technical partners when it comes to design. And then, yes, we have tech platforms that we work with, but we're also opening up our own platform as a platform that other tech providers can build on top of. So you can control, you can take over our integrated experience and show content on screens or change the music for certain events, for example. So we work with Green King, and they're running a nationwide quiz for Macmillan next week, actually.
Yes.
So all of the screens are going to be taken over at the same time with a synchronized live quiz across the nation. With a quiz partner called Quizbit.
Love that.
We do a similar thing with Rock and Roll Bingo, so a music game that we do in pubs. We are, it's kind of an app store type model on top of our platform.
You're becoming like a marketplace almost underneath your...
Well, we're connected to the atmospherics within a venue, so we can open that up to partners, or even just, you know, share our data. We've got APIs, for example. If there's a business case for it, then absolutely.
Because I think that's something that clients want as well, isn't it? To be able to, I guess in one sense it's being future-proof, but be able to open that platform up a bit more to work with other providers.
Is this when you mentioned data, obviously it always brings me back to, I always think of Vic and I always think of the data. She bangs on about it, data is power. If you're not a data business, you're not a business, something like that. And that, maybe that's not a tagline, but it's interesting, like people like Tenzo, for instance, who drag in data from workforce management, EPOS, revenue, weather, who could collate your data as well, would be make like a really powerful story around how guests are behaving and how venues behave.
Yeah, if you could pull in the EPOS data alongside weather data versus what was playing at the time, busyness from our system as well, you could actually start to build quite a picture. I think data can fall short if you don't have the full picture.
Yeah.
And if you're only looking at transactional data, you don't necessarily know that you were staffed up. Because you might have been busy, but not actually transacting that many pints at a bar, for example, because there weren't enough staff.
Yeah.
So we can show people that actually you were busy at that time, but your transactions were lower. So you can't just rely on the EPOS data. And I think that's kind of building that total picture. And then, yeah, how we want to test and try things. So, you know, we encourage our customers to try something that may well fail, but what's the risk? Because you might find something better. So having metrics so that you can prove whether, you know, what you're testing is working or not is really important.
I love that. And I think, Mel, if when people are kind of connecting with you guys and they're coming to use you as a service, are you quite consultative in that approach? So, you know, if I come along and I own 15 restaurants, for instance, and I want to work with you guys, how embedded are you in that business to get that going, I suppose, at the start?
Yeah, we try to be kind of very embedded, and the people that we work with vary. Sometimes it's sort of an IT project, other times it's operational, and other times it's brand and marketing. And I suppose maybe that's where we'd rather align ourselves, because we tend to find that brand and marketing people really, again, sort of just buy into it and understand.
Yeah, they're waving your flag.
The importance, and so, yeah, we try to sort of, to really get under the hood of things and understand, you know, the real core drivers and objectives that they want to achieve.
Yeah. And is it something that, so how long would it take me from meeting you guys to kind of onboard and get going as it would be? Or is it how long is a piece of string?
A little. So 2 or 3 weeks to, if we're rushing things, is fine. You know, a month or two is typical. But that's really because we like to really, you know, get to know the customer. So we'll visit a lot of time in, you know, spend a lot of time in the location, visit a lot of stores, understand the challenges. And really, it is a consultative process. And we're quite opinionated. So we'll quite often sort of challenge the way things are done. I think that's important.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's really important.
So we have these sort of guiding principles where we think the industry has gone completely wrong. So, you know, everyone starts with demographic. That's one of the least relevant things, because then you end up with what music people like, or what you think people like. And that's not the most important thing. We're not going to play music that we think people don't like. Actually, it's about how you want them to feel and behave and remember your experience. And the issue is, if you take everyone's feedback on board, you end up with something like Heart FM. It's just a mainstream radio station.
My wife likes Heart FM.
Which is fine.
There's a time and a place.
She's very generic. I'll tell her when I get home.
So we have one of that principles, So Sally Can Wait, which is basically, you know, Sally, an account's like a song doesn't mean you necessarily need to play it in your establishment.
I was just thinking, if Atollo, for instance, my other company, were choosing music, it would be a disaster, because they would just come at you with a playlist and say, this is what we're playing. How do you select the music? Is it the factors within the building that select the music, or do you guys have how does that work?
So
one of you take that. That sounds really deep.
But. We have curators.
Right.
So they're trained in behavioral science and marketing and brand, and they know a lot about music, so they know what they're looking for. But also we give them the tool sets so they can filter the music library based on certain metadata. So we know instrumental composition of tracks, tempo of tracks, genre, popularity. Because it might be actually we want stuff that's not so popular, so that it's more distinctive and less mainstream. So they use this metadata that we have actually used AI to analyze certain tracks to get that metadata. And then they use their own like creative license to curate playlists. We start with samples, share them with the customer, explain our justification.
It's quite a personal thing, isn't it, music? I think that, and I imagine customers say to ring Mel and go, oh, no, we know we need this Oasis track because that's what the CEO loves. Yeah. It's always on. You don't get that, do you? You don't get people requesting?
That's some examples. which is fine. I think that's an education
piece. You just tell them they're wrong, yeah.
Well, we do push back, because I think we have the justification, really.
I'm being really dismissive to most of my colleagues in the industry, but I can imagine, because it is a very emotive thing, right? It's something that, and you said you're opinionated about it, and I think you need to be, because it's something that I would push down the road thinking, well, I know that's good because I enjoy listening to that, and I think I'm quite a normal middle of the road person, so I think that would work in a restaurant.
I think there's this danger as well of thinking that we're the customer, and therefore what we want to hear, everybody wants to hear. And I think one of the biggest sort of pain points that we hear from hospitality is like, in terms of on the ground staff wanting to just sort of plug in a phone and put on what they want. And obviously, you know, we have things within our platform that can help to kind of manage that. But yeah, you know, people want to hear what they like, and we have to think deeper than that and consider obviously the whole experience.
Do you put curators in front of customers? You don't, do you? Or do they?
They have a direct relationship.
They do.
Yeah, they're quite heavily involved. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's really important to us. The sort of relationship with the client, because they're going to be working with them for years ahead. So they do have.
So they almost account manage that.
From a music perspective.
Yeah, from a music perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we have account managers from a sort of an account perspective.
I think I want to be a curator. I think I'm in the wrong job.
They're magicians, aren't they?
Yeah, there you go. Now I definitely want to be one. Never been called a magician before. And it's funny, we talked briefly, I spoke to Mel briefly about tech for tech's sake type thing when we're talking about, you know, and you mentioned at the start actually about music hasn't really evolved in terms of how it was managed and how it's projected and how, you know, the data science behind it and the behavioural science. But is there much more to do, or is there, in terms of music and tech, or is it already at a point where you flatline until something amazing happens in technology that would make it better?
So it's been mentioned that I'm the most anti-tech person to run a tech business.
Congratulations.
So no VR or metaverse here. Because I think the problem when it comes to tech is quite often approached as, we've got this interesting tech, let's find an idea for it. And actually, I think it's not the tech that's lacking, it's the ideas that are lacking. So I think tech really needs to be there to either enable a business, streamline a business, or make an experience. So typically our approach is flipping it. So what is the problem? What's the opportunity? And is there a good piece of tech to fit that? And sometimes that's old school tech, sometimes that's new advanced tech, and that's completely fine. I think that's the purpose of good technology or good technology implementation. From specifically in terms of our industry and where tech might go, I think there's definitely a piece around the data. I don't think AI is going to be generating good music. I think there's a reason why commercial music is sort of signed artist commercial stuff, because there's a skill.
Please God, no. I had to make a video the other day and it gave me some AI generative music to put on it, and it was AI generative music.
Yeah, but there's a place for it. So, for example, if you're working at in an office, actually some AI music that's not repetitive is perfect for that kind of scenario. But that's not what you want in a hospitality location.
No, or my life. At all. So yeah, there is no major breakthrough or to be had. It's more about the problem you're solving. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. And well, learning how a real life environment is behaving and how that has a direct impact on the business, and then analyzing that data. I think AI, machine learning, and BigQuery data type technology is going to unlock that. I think the problem we have at the moment is nobody's collecting that level of data. It's all EPOS or all Wi-Fi or so on. None of it is atmospheric. And hopefully that's the bit.
It's funny, we talk about Wi-Fi a lot actually on the podcast, because we always come here and we try and log on and it takes us a couple of goes. No offense to whoever's doing this. And that data collection, then I was talking to someone from Australia who says in Australia they don't have any Wi-Fi data collection because the connectivity is so good. They can just walk in on their phone and 5G it and carry on. Yeah. And music, the collection of data through music is more around behavior, right? It's more about what people are doing. And is it all encapsulated in this book? Not all of it, but is there a lot of reasoning in this book that you guys have created that cover that?
Yeah, so the beginning of the book is all about explaining what behavioral science is. And then it's chapters on our top principles that people can follow. So the piece around feedback that we mentioned, stuff around expectancy theories, that's setting an expectation and how that has an impact longer term on a brand. So and peak end rule. So there's a whole suite of gems in there.
How do I get
sort of
it?
Dig into.
Or how do people get it, I suppose?
They can request one.
Yeah, startermusic.com/atmospheres that sell.
Okay, and I'll share the link obviously with the podcast as well to make sure people can see it, so we can get some of them downloaded. And what about Startle for the future? I know we talked a little bit about tech for the future, but you guys have grown. Are you a big company, or do you need to be a big company? Is it the curators and you guys?
There's 14 of us currently, full-time, UK, US-based team.
Oh.
We're in 10,000 plus locations. Just growing organically through referral, recommendation, marketing. And we're actually acquiring some other businesses in some other territories, which is an exciting stage actually for Startle. So, you know, you mentioned the pandemic. I think, you know, we survived the pandemic actually really well. I think it gave us time to reflect on our business. And I think also our customer base realized that Atmosphere is now more important than ever. Yep. And you get two camps. You get the ones that, you know, invest in that and care about it, and those that are looking to cost cut. And I think cost cut is just a case of extending runway. Investing in an experience is a case of, you know, growing a brand into the future.
Yeah.
We've realized that. I think most of the industry has realized that. And that just allows us to have much more of a valuable relationship with our customers, because we're having a real material impact on the business.
Yeah, and I think experiential evenings out, days out, whatever you're doing, have become, I suppose, just more valuable, I suppose, since, yeah. I mean, they're always valuable, but I think everyone realized when it had gone how much they missed it, I think.
Yeah.
And coming back now, you definitely see, you know, the people was the big problem, obviously, when we came back from the pandemic. I think it's improving, apparently. And I think the experiential side of it, I think, is better. I don't know what you guys think generally when you're out and about, but I think there's a long road for some people, obviously. But I think some of the bigger guys particularly, you can feel that they've really kind of invested in that side of things.
I think they know that when people go out, they want a good time.
Yeah.
It's so easy to order in, stay at home, you know, even things like watching sports at home. It's all about getting people to go out. And, you know, when they're doing that and they're willing to spend their money with you, you need to be showing them a good time.
Yeah, and I think one of my good friends who worked for Hard Rock said nobody returns for a transaction. They returns for experience, right?
Exactly.
So, and I think that's write that one on your website.
I love that. I'll
nick that.
David Pello, Global Vice President of Hard Rock Cafe. He's right, isn't he? He's right that people really want to be invested. Your best nights with your mates, you remember it, you laughed, you had fun, you remember the music, you remember the food. That's the whole thing, isn't it?
So I think the memories are really important. And we use that in retail a lot because people think that e-commerce is a threat to retailers. Absolutely not, because it's a retail space is the only place that you can create a connection with a customer.
Yeah.
You don't get a connection on a great e-commerce experience. They're very forgettable.
They really are.
A great in-person experience is hard to forget.
Yeah, and that's where the brand values continue into digital space.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, really interesting speaking to you guys. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going to have to read your book now. Kieran, I know, is here today and he wants a copy of your book, so I shall pass one on. How do we get hold of you? If people are interested in Startle and want to know a bit more and find out about you guys, where do they find you?
So startlemusic.com is our website. We're on all the social channels, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and you can send us a message if anybody wants to chat.
And we didn't even mention air guitars before I get to, because there's something about air guitars that someone was telling me. No, well, we're not going to get into that.
We've been giving away air guitars this year at a few events.
That's
been very generous.
Yeah.
If anyone requests a book, we'll include a free air guitar.
I love that. And how do Adam, are you allowed to, are you staying nonplussed? Are you getting involved? Can people find you on LinkedIn and stalk you?
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm not on any other social channel because I prefer in-person experiences.
Yes, I love that. Very good. Okay, good. Look, guys, that was Startle. Brilliant. You can find them on the marketplace under Startle, techontoes.community/marketplace/Startle. You can find their book on, I'm going to put the link out on the podcast. You can see that again. And that's it. So say thank you very much and we'll see you all soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.